Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app. With hundreds of pre-live and in-play football markets. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
Yeah, they're into the last 10 minutes in Thessaloniki, where Chelsea are still leading by a goal to nil, but Rangers are doing a fine job for themselves tonight. They have equalised 2-2 away to Villarreal. It is Kyle Lafferty who's gotten that equaliser for them 14 minutes from time there. We're going to keep an eye on the last 8 or 9 minutes or so of Pauk and Chelsea. John Giles joins us in studio for Thursday Night Football, as always. You're very welcome to the studio, John.
Thank you, Richie.
Thank you for braving the elements for us tonight. It's been a fairly busy week on the Champions League front, the European football front in general. The criticism of the group stages of the Champions League is often, should we know what's going to happen and we know where certain teams are going to finish, and it only essentially livens up until we get to the knockout phase. Thankfully, Spurs and Manchester City did a job for us that we actually have something to talk about this week in that front.
Well, they wouldn't be pleased about it.
No, neither one of them. But we are, John.
Yeah, well, it gives us something to talk about rather than a routine win, as they say.
We'll start with Spurs because we have to put this in context. They were 4 minutes away from what would have been a fairly decent victory.
Yes.
But unfortunately for them, events conspired against them. A fantastic goal from Mauro Icardi from the edge of the box and from what may have been an intentional cross and what mightn't have been. But then I suppose you'd have to blame them defending-wise for that winner for Inter, which they didn't deal with at all from the set piece again, and Inter were able to walk away with all 3 points. And then we had the meltdown by Mauricio Pochettino in the press conference afterwards. Not necessarily a good night.
We had it beforehand, Richie, with Pochettino talking about the cows or whatever. Nobody knew what he said. They said it was a Cantona moment. Nobody knew what he was actually talking about. And what he was talking about after the match was people asked him why was Alderweireld and Trippier left at home.
Yeah.
And he didn't answer that either. He went in, look, we have to respect the players that are here. And that. I think he's under severe pressure, Pochettino.
From whom?
I'd say, well, first of all, from the supporters, because they're the ones that will be less than happy. I think he's backed the CEO, Levy, to the hilt, because if you go back to the end of the season, Pochettino was very, very critical, actually, of the CEO by saying that, you know, he's got to put his hand in his pocket, he's got to be brave, he's got to be doing this, that and the other. And in the meantime, he signed his own contract, I think, which was a lucrative contract. But then at the end of the season, he said to the press guys, I think you got it all wrong. I didn't mean he had to be brave by buying players. I meant he'd be brave by not buying players. So there was a big turnaround there. And they have a small squad, there's no that in relation to what needs to be done.
Yeah.
And
I've kind of seen that in the last 2 weeks or so. It's not necessarily the players are playing badly, but clearly there's people like Harry Kane who need a rest. They have to do with a Heung-min Son for the first couple of games of the season. When they need to change things, they don't necessarily have players of the same calibre to come in and take those places.
Well, it also, I think it affects the morale as well of the team. I mean, there's nothing better than, say, when Liverpool were on top. I remember Graeme Souness talking about it, and with Dalglish and Hansen, all these great players, they win the league and they sign at least two top players, because it gives you that drive again to do it. Now, in Spurs' case, they haven't won anything and they haven't bought anybody. Now, there's Kane, and as soon as they get a few inches, which all teams do, it's very difficult to do it. I mean, if you look at Guardiola, a big squad last year, he adds to the squad. First of all, it gives the players who are there a bit more drive to stay in the team and say, here we go again, we've actually improved this team. Whereas if you don't do that and do what Spurs did, you know, see, they didn't win anything. They were wherever they were, third or fourth in the league last year. Then the players said, well, why should we do any better this year? Now, I'm not saying they consciously say that about the manager, but I don't think things are right there. I think there would be a lot of, speculation in the dressing room. Mm-hmm. You know, Pochettino signed a new contract. He's got a lucrative contract. And we all know that the wage structure at Spurs is not great. There's a couple of players. I think what kept Spurs going was that Pochettino was one of the lads and they liked him. They actually liked him. Now, I think they wouldn't be so sure. I think he's looked after himself. There's no doubt about that. And good luck to him getting a new contract. But a few players haven't added to the squad. I know they have problems with the stadium and all that. But there's nothing better than winning the league or doing well and adding a couple of players to it. First of all, you need a big squad, very big squad now, which they don't have, despite what he says. And I think the comments he's been making, the way he's responded to the press in the last few days, sounds like a lad to me, or a manager to me, that's really under pressure. This was a bad loss for them. They should have won the game, Richie. There's no doubt about it. They should have won the game, but the fact is they didn't. Because again, you know, they didn't defend very well. As you say, a set piece, they lost the goal again from a set piece. And this is not the way that we expect Spurs to do it.
I mean, ultimately, the point for them is that they've now lost three in the spin in all competitions.
Yeah.
I mean, you could put down... There's almost an element of forgiveness, let's say, with Spurs, because it comes back to that old adage, the one that was in the Manchester United dressing room going, lads, it's Tottenham. Yeah. You kind of figure that there is going to be a flub here and there. But for the fact that they've lost two Premier League games already this season, they've started off the Champions League with a loss.
Can I just interrupt there? But Pochettino has been there for 3 or 4 years now, right? That was supposed to stop...
But it's not.
But it's supposed to have stopped because of him.
But even in years where they've finished second, and even in years where they've finished in the top four and finished above Arsenal, which is always a big bugbear for them, they don't seem to be able to kick on. There doesn't seem to be an impetus from at least the board for them to kick on. And I know the stadium is a massive albatross for them, but you have to at some level start investing and start to build to the next phase
of the
team.
They used to invest at one stage, but unfortunately, I don't think the manager was investing the money. Mm. The chairman had all the say in it. Now, I think a couple of years ago, to be fair to the chairman, I think he believed in Pochettino and gave Pochettino his say in, now, as it happens, there is no transfer at the moment. But I think the players that they did have in, Pochettino picked them, which was a big difference. Harry Redknapp was there, Harry didn't have that. He didn't have that power to buy the players. I mean, that's, well, I think, one of the reasons he's left. But Pochettino... Not, I think the first year he did, but he got the stage where I think Levy believed in him and let him do it. That's been the big difference in the last couple of years, that people actually expect Spurs to do it. It's not like, oh, it's the old Spurs, like Ferguson used to say. I think there's a different approach to them now. Now, that could be going back again to the way it was, because they haven't produced it. Well, they haven't brought the players in. It's impossible to do what's needed to be done with the squad that they have at the moment.
Well, with that in mind, can you see the logic, or is there any logic, in what Pochettino did this week in leaving two senior players like Kieran Trippier and Toby Alderweireld at home? Not necessarily leaving them on the bench for a game, leaving them at home. That doesn't seem to make much sense to me.
It didn't make sense. When he was asked to explain it, it didn't make any sense.
Well, he was clearly on the back foot and being defensive about it.
Yeah, but you have to be able to deal with the press in that particular way. I think he's under severe pressure at the moment. He sounds like a lad to me, or a manager to me, that's under severe pressure, because nobody would know better than himself that this is not right. They have the problem with the stadium, but he's having a problem with the team. The team is not performance. He doesn't have any real backup in it. He doesn't have a big squad. He doesn't have a squad that's big enough to do what's needed to be done. So he's under, and the expectation is high on him, Richie, as we know. Mm. Like, people say, well, you haven't won anything yet. And I think he's done well in many ways with the resources that he has. But I don't think they're going to win anything this year. And again, if it goes the way it's going, like after 2 or 3 weeks, they won't even be in the running. So then the supporters get very anxious and impatient with him. So he's a man that's under pressure. But I must say, the other night, they should have had the game won, but they should be able to see the game out. And it's the second or third match in succession that they lost the goal from a set piece. So things are not good there. There's definitely, well, everybody knows that. That goes without saying. But things are not good there.
Does the stadium have any part to play in this? Because obviously we've mentioned the impact that's had financially on whether or not they're able to sign players. And building their stadium is huge. The outlay involved is absolutely massive. We saw that with Arsenal. The fact that there's an uncertainty over when they're actually going to get in there. A person knows if a person doesn't have any surety about their home, they're kind of in dire straits. If a club, albeit they might be playing at Wembley and they have a nice rent of a place, is playing somewhere else, I'm not sure when their home games are going to be actually at home.
Well, let's put it this way, Richie. It doesn't do any good, because the talk about, you know, the spirit in the dressing room. Spirit in the dressing room and Romanidis is very fragile. You know, something can knock it off. Something like that can knock, certainly not doing any good. First of all, they haven't signed anybody. So I think it's the first time in the history of the Premier League that a team hasn't signed a new player during the season. So the players will know, right, we haven't got the money to do it. Right, as they would have done. And it needs to be strengthened, there's no doubt about that. Then you've got the ground coming on top of it. Now they have to go back to Wembley. All those things, what you need in the morale in the dressing room is everything steady, everything right, the stadium built, a couple of players new in. To strengthen the squad and things like that. That gives the morale. Everything is right. Everything is not right with Spurs at the moment. And it shows in the dressing room, it shows with the players. It can't define spirit in the dressing room or morale in the dressing room. But the slightest thing can knock it off. And Spurs have had a few things that are capable of knocking off that particular team spirit that we're talking about.
Mm. We'll get to the team spirit of another side that were in Champions League action, Manchester City, after the break. Just to tell you, at the moment, Chelsea into injury time in Thessaloniki are leading PAOK by 1-0. And Rangers look like pulling off a pretty decent result for themselves as well, away to Villarreal. They're into stoppage time there, and it's Villarreal 2, Rangers 2. The other game in that group sees Rapid Vienna leading Spartak Moscow by 2-0. More about Manchester City and indeed Liverpool's starts to the Champions League with John after these.
Football on Off the Ball.
In association with the faster than ever Boyle Sports app. For exclusive price enhancements on the biggest games around. Download it now. Boyle Sports. Time to play.
That latest score has turned into a result in Spain for Rangers. A 2-2 draw coming from behind on both occasions to get those goals tonight. I have Steven Gerrard's side. And meanwhile, Chelsea look like picking up a 1-0 win. They're deep into injury time in Greece, and it is indeed all over. But one worry for them, Pedro has gone off with what looked like a very painful arm injury after a late challenge that brought about a free kick on the edge of the box and tempers fraying towards the edge of that end of that match as well. But Chelsea starting off their Europa League campaign with a victory. John Giles is with us in studio. John, Manchester City losing 2-1 at home to Lyon last night. I don't think anybody really saw this one coming. Lyon do have a couple of really good players, and Nabil Fekir definitely showed his worth last night. But Manchester City just didn't look right at all last night.
No, they didn't play well at all. I was watching Manchester United match for it because I took it, like most people, a foregone conclusion that City would win easily.
Yeah.
Then I heard the result and switched over. City didn't play well at all, but I have to say, Lyon were very, very good. Very good. They defended well. They were back in numbers. And when they had a chance to it, they didn't sit back, not by a long chalk. Mm. And when they had a chance to go, they go like all good teams should do. So I was very, very surprised because I didn't know anything about them. I thought it'd be a walkover for City. It wasn't. But it was, City didn't play well. But I must say, Lyon were very, very good. Mm.
Was there a deal of complacency, do you think, on Manchester City's behalf last night?
Well, there could be, but there shouldn't be. I mean, what a lot of people say, to be fair, Guardiola was up in the stand, he wasn't in the dressing room. Well, that shouldn't have that much of an effect, to be quite honest. I just thought that Lyon were better than most people expected, probably including City, and maybe a bit of complacency there. But I'd have to give full credit to Lyon.
There are a couple of warning signs for Manchester City. We've seen Leroy Sané being in and out of the side, and both Pep Guardiola and obviously the international setup questioning his attitude. I know he's had a kid recently, and that clearly might affect things on a personal level. But Fernandinho as well in midfield, who's their rock essentially, and the guy who kind of did all the dirty work in midfield the last couple of years, losing possession, I think, 4 or 5 times, I think, more than any other City player last night, and losing possession in the lead-up to that original goal as well.
I'm not a Fernandinho fan at all, Richie. At all. I think he's not good on the ball. He's like a typical now holding midfield player. Mm. He does that well. But I think City miss De Bruyne an awful lot to play in his particular position. He doesn't start, he doesn't initiate anything. He's not really good, comfortable on the ball. He does get a few tackles in, but it doesn't do enough for my liking in that particular position. And I'm against holding midfield players generally. I don't think that there should be a special
a differentiation, yeah,
of a midfield player. Okay, some players play deeper than others,
yeah,
but I don't think there should be a midfield player just for, they say, they protect the back four, which they don't, because Jesus Christ couldn't, excuse the language, couldn't protect the back four. And they're not expected to contribute anything. I think his distribution's not good. Anyway, that's him. But it wasn't just him. I mean, to be fair to Sané came on and sub, and he was really, really good.
Yeah.
If anybody was going to change it, he was going to change it. But like what happens with Manchester City in this particular situation, everything is bad after the defeat like that.
I don't think anybody should be panicking if they're a Manchester City fan tonight.
Well, they lost the first round of the thing, but people do read a lot into it. It's like, again, go back to Spurs in the first match of the season, Manchester United, they win 3. They're going to be up there in the league this year. 2 matches, 3 matches later, they're no good. You know, Guardiola did what he did last year and did brilliantly. This is the first match in the Champions League. I'm sure they'd pick up. It was a bad night for them, there's no doubt about it. But again, not the end of the world. So I think obviously they will pick it up, but again, I think they need to bring it back to give them that energy in the middle of the field. But they didn't have that last night. They didn't have the energy. Lyon did, and they were very, very good and deserved to win the match.
The issue of the crowd is something that came up a lot of people on social media and just in general, quick to point out that there was, 13,000 less fans there last night. I think around 40,000 at the game. Mm. And there was 53,000 there for the Fulham game. Dan was in, obviously, in the newsroom and says the season tickets, obviously, would have an issue in that you have people who are guaranteed to be there in the Saturday or the Sunday or whatever, who might necessarily be guaranteed a European ticket. But that level of fall-off, it just seems a little bit off. And it's been an ongoing thing with City. There seems to be a lack of buy-in from the City fans towards Europe as a whole. I mean, they boo the Champions League quote-unquote anthem. They just don't seem happy with the whole setup. It's not necessarily something that they look towards.
I think what happens, Richie, is that when they first get into Europe, teams, the fans, it's new to them. It's great. City, and that they're there in numbers. Mm. Like, eating bread is soon forgotten, you know? Because Manchester City forget when they didn't qualify. And I had experienced that at Leeds, to be quite honest. When we got, Leeds had done nothing for years and years. We qualified for Europe. We're in Europe for 10 years, right? And like the first match in Europe, it was packed out. After 5 years, right, 5 or 6 years when we were in Europe, I remember talking to the Leeds fans. They were playing on the Wednesday night. You're going to the match on Wednesday. Ah, no, we're waiting for the semis. That's what happens when teams, like feeling of, oh, we're doing better than we should be doing, rather than, of course we'll win Lyon or nothing. We'll wait later on and we'll go to when it really matters.
Yeah.
That's what happens with supporters, unfortunately. Now, they got a kick up the backside last night, which might change, but it does happen. You know, when it's like a team when they're promoted the first year. The fans are all there, they're great and they're going and that. After 3 or 4 years, like, say, Tony Pulis at Stoke, for example. You know, the fans never complained about his style of football when they first got up for the first three seasons. After that, it's, well, what, we want something new.
How many Barcelona graduates can you get in our starting 11, please, Tony? You know, that's what they ended up with, and they ended up sinking
Sony. Exactly. So that's the way it works. So I wouldn't be too bothered about that from City's point of view. But I know that's the attitude of the fans. So that Leeds would say, you're going to the first match of it now. No. We're waiting until the semis.
But football's an expensive business as well. I mean, you can't be expected to go to whatever it would be if you take in all European games.
But when they first get into Europe, you're to go, Richie. It's a novelty. The novelty wears off very quickly.
Exactly.
So, but that's the game. It's only because City's success that the fans are not going. That's because they're so good.
One of my weird things is to go back and look at like old football stuff on YouTube, and God knows there's enough of it there, especially when I was a kid, to be reminded of certain matches. And you go back and look at the European coverage from, say, Manchester United's run in the Cup Winners' Cup in 91 when they won that year, or Liverpool when they got back into Europe the following year after a 5-year absence. You would think that Anfield or Old Trafford or Highbury would have been absolutely jammed. There were several games that would have played where 2/3 full. You know, and I know the opposition played a factor in that, but again, it's not necessarily a banker, and it shouldn't be necessarily that you get a home crowd full the whole time. You know,
that's right. It's a novelty wears off, Richie. You know, like Spurs, Wolves this year got up, they'll be packed in week out and week out, and if they get a draw against Manchester, it's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Give them 2 or 3 years of that, and say, it wasn't that good. But that's the way it is. But you know, Man City, I think Man City will come back. It was a bad defeat. It was a bad night for them.
It'll be a wake-up call.
But it'll be a wake-up call in a big way.
You mentioned not liking defensive midfielders. I know that's a bugbear of yours. We had a listener text us in or messages in during the week saying, although not playing a traditional two-man midfield, Milner, Wijnaldum and Henderson still seemed a pretty traditional midfield role whereby two players attacked and one sat depending on the moment. This idea that Liverpool have all-rounders in midfield now, they don't necessarily have a defensive midfielder and two others that'll bomb forward. They've got three lads who'll do it all. That seems to be right up your alley.
It's a little bit complicated. They do all they are capable of doing.
Right.
But it's not ideal, Richie. Okay?
In what sense?
Well, they've nobody in that. Either Wijnaldum, Henderson in particular, and Milner can control a game. Milner is great at what he does, right? He's not a Modric. He's not a Pirlo. Do you understand?
Getting on the ball and trying.
No, there aren't many of them around. But Liverpool, as I see them, goals dictate games, right? And if you get a goal, 2-goal up, like Liverpool can get it up, now it's Graeme Souness could do it. You can actually control the game. There's only one ball on the pitch. So you don't have to take chances with passes, keep it. And the team that goes 2-0 down are now desperate, and they're going to start taking chances that they shouldn't be taking, right? Running forward when they shouldn't be running forward. Then you pick them off. But if you're 2 goals up, right, if you do it properly, it could be 3 goals, 3-0 for you. Don't lose 2 goals. It's called controlling the game, because every part of the game is different. If you go 2-0 down, especially as midfielders, you have to play, in a different way. You have to take more chances with your passing. You have to push people forward in a chancy way. When you're 2-0 up, you don't have to do that. The opposition does that. But you have to take control of it. In other words, you're winning 2-0. The worst will happen, you'll win the game 2-0. Mm. Right? But if see, Milner can't control the game. Henderson certainly can't control the game. And neither can Wijnaldum. They're good all-round players. So they're either attacking or they're defending. Whereas the great midfield, or the, what you have in midfield, is a control of
someone
the game.
Someone to take the sting out of the game.
Yeah, take the sting. It's called taking the sting out of it. Mm. Because like Pirlo and these guys, when they played, and Graeme Souness, when the game is going against you, right, there's a way then to control. The only way to control is get a hold of the ball. But you have to be capable of getting a hold of the ball. Now, with the Liverpool midfield players, none of them are capable of really getting hold of the ball and controlling.
Generally, were you impressed with Liverpool on Tuesday night?
I thought they were good at what they do.
Yeah.
Because there's an honesty about them. There's a go about them when they're going forward, particularly the front three. Although the front three haven't been so good this year. I think there's been a little bit of selfishness crept in there between not giving each other the ball as much. I think at the back, they're still not good at controlling the defensive situation and corner kicks and free kicks, and they come under too much pressure. I thought
PSG
were terrible. One thing about Liverpool, they're honest. They're honest. All the players are honest at what they can do.
They'll work for you as well.
Yes, they do the best they possibly can. Now, they might not have a player who can control, but they do, like all those midfield players, they do really well. PSG, Cavani, Neymar, and Mbappe,
yeah.
Were actually professionally disgraceful.
You go that far?
Yeah, disgraceful. They never once tried to get back when they lost the ball. Not once. And Liverpool should have been out of sight, really. But that would never happen with Liverpool, because Klopp wouldn't have that. He has the forwards, as we saw, working really, really hard. PSG, I thought professionally, were dreadful. In Neymar did a few tricky things, in it, but he didn't. It was obvious when the players were breaking, he's letting them go. Mm. You know, you can't do that and be a team. Liverpool had that. Liverpool had an honesty about them that PSG didn't have and deserved to win it. Mm. It would have been a disgrace, I think, had they not won that particular game. But again, they didn't control the game, which allowed those guys to come back into it. So that's all part of it. That's can be a little bit complicated at times.
Oh, no. Liverpool not getting ahead of themselves and Manchester City and Spurs, no reason to panic just yet. The early days.
If I was Manchester City, I wouldn't panic. If I was Spurs, I'd be tempted to panic.
Right, okay. The week after next, you're going to be in front of the Ryder Cup. I imagine you said you like watching the golf.
Oh, yeah.
Ryder Cup, as we know, kicks off next week, and you can stream all the action live with the Now TV Sky Sports Pass. With the Now TV Sky Sports Pass, you only pay for the days you want and can stream all 10 Sky Sports channels. We're going to be over in France next week with Nathan and Joe at Le Golf National. And to celebrate, we're giving away a year-long Now TV Sky Sports Pass. John, you can't enter this, right? To be with a chance of winning, just identify a Ryder Cup mystery voice who gave this response when asked whether he'd like to see S Club 7 reform.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question.
Yeah, getting Bradley and the others back in the same room is a bit of a difficult ask.
Of course you would. That's a particularly stupid question.
Joe's the holdout. Text your name and your answer to 53106 for 30 cents and we'll announce the winner later on in the show. Off the Ball's Ryder Cup coverage brought to you in association with Now TV. Only pay for the days you want and stream all 10 Sky Sports channels with the Now TV Sky Sports Pass. John, thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks, Richie.
We're going to be looking at the reinstatement of Russia by WADA after 8 o'clock. Matt Slater and Dr. Una May from Sport Ireland will be joining us on that. And Michael Fennelly as well on the Electric Ireland Minor Star Team of the Year. All to come.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.